All right, now, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, March 3rd, 3-3-2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. If you're on the East Coast, you are probably waking up to a pretty beautiful morning. I mean, it is sort of warm. I am not wearing a jacket today. Got up. List of things to do. Time to turn the corner. Living in this miserable existence that I've sort of been in, that I've sort of started to talk about a little bit. It is a, it's important. It is definitely important to talk, communicate, share, get it out, right? At the end of a lot of meetings, they say, don't leave with the burning desire, right? Don't leave with something. Talk to somebody. And, sometimes we choose not to, and we suffer. And that's sort of what I've been doing. It was, I came into this program, obviously. I came into this world because I drank too much freaking vodka. And I lived a terrible existence. And, we fixed those things. I fixed it. I've worked hard at it. I don't do it anymore. I definitely do not drink and do drugs. But there are these little things out there that aren't drinking and drugs, right? That can actually bring just as much freaking misery to me. And the problem is I don't get arrested for it. I don't have to take classes for it, right? I don't have to, whatever it is that we do when our life becomes entangled in that alcohol and drugs and down that awful, into that pit, right? But when we finally claw our way out of there, we're like, man, as long as we don't do that, I'm cool. But man, there's other things that start getting us, and I sort of shared about it yesterday. And I went to a meeting last night, and I got to the meeting, and it was on the second tradition. Right, I'd been to this meeting last week. We were doing the second tradition last week, and my buddy Jimmy Kay was going to speak on it, and turns out somebody had less than 30 days, right, and so. When that happens, we revert back to the first step. And I was like, thank God, right? I just didn't feel like reading that second tradition. I'd already read it once before or that week. And my friend's like, we're doing the second tradition tonight. And I go, no. We did it last week, or at least we tried, right? We tried, and that's all we have to do. And she's like, no, we have to do it. And I go to a lot of different meetings. One meeting I go to, if something like that happens, we just keep on moving, right? If we were supposed to read the second tradition, well, had to go back to the first step. So we'll just pick that up at the last Monday of next month, right? And we will go to the third tradition. Like, nothing is set in stone. It's just sort of a loose guide. Well, nope, not at this meeting. They're like, nope, we must do the second tradition. So I was like annoyed. I got annoyed. I was bent. And I think that was it. That was the peak. That was the moment where I finally had enough of living like this miserable person, right? Just sharing it in the podcast the other day about the shit that I sort of been going through, and whether it's with, the news or the television, or really with my phone, right? And I shared it, and I was, I just gotten to the point. I really just had to share it and get it out. And it was amazing how many people had agreed and were going through the same kind of shit I was.
One.
Well, KK Downing, Glenn Tipton, Judas Priest, The Mighty Priest, right? Grinder, British Steel. What a great album. What a great song. Yeah, you know, one of the things I remember coming into, you know, this program, starting to change my direction, focus, rearrange my focus, trying to figure out a new path for me. And all of these great suggestions that were made when I had come into this program for the first time, right? One day at a time, right? We all know them. They're all so, you know, so popular and so important, right? One day at a time, stay in the moment, think. Just all of the, I can't even think of them all. But they're all these great little things that for a person like myself who was just loaded with fucking bad habits. I mean, loaded, right? All self-serving bad habits, right? You know, one of the biggest things that I used to do, and I can still get caught up in it, is not stay in the day, right? Not stay in the moment. And sometimes I'm like, well, why do I have to stay in the moment, right? Why do I have to be so fucking weak, so spiritually weak, or so mentally weak that I cannot handle getting out of the day? Why is it that I'm that guy, right? Everybody else seems to be able to do it. And I don't know if I'm the guy. I don't know if I am strong enough to get out of the day. But I know one thing. When I stay in it, my day is a lot better. My life feels better. I have hope, right? I can see the grass is green on my side of the fence, right? It doesn't always have to be the grass is greener on the other side. The grass is green right where I'm standing. Life is pretty freaking good. And because when I came in, it seemed like, you know, and I think back to really back in the days before even when I got punched in the mouth in 97, these weird attempts at trying to get sober to please other people. And I can't even really remember if I had any like real intentions to try to get sober. I know that back in those days, my first walk down this this path of recovery didn't even really include alcohol. Like I had never come to a meeting because I drank too much. All of my first early interactions with recovery was all because I smoked pot, right? That was my big problem. That was the big conflict between my parents and I was how much pot I smoked. It wasn't like you have a drinking problem because I didn't really drink that much, right? If I could, I would smoke pot every single day. I did not drink every day, right? We'd maybe drink on the weekends, just sort of starting to kind of start messing around with it. I remember drinking a little bit of Southern Comfort and some Jack, hanging out with my buddies, Jeff and Mason, those guys, and they're the it's not their fault, but they definitely introduced me to partying, right? We had experimented with a little pot smoking, but drinking some Evan Williams, drinking some Southern Comfort. You know, the first time I had Southern Comfort was with those guys doing shots. And it's not I'm not blaming them. I loved it. Thank you guys. It was a lot of fun. But that was my real first introduction to drinking, but my first introduction to this program was really not because of drinking. It was because of smoking pot, and it wasn't because I was concerned. It was because of everybody else. But at some point, I remember I just couldn't stop. And I just didn't want to. I loved to smoke pot as a teenager. It was a real struggle. And so I try to think back, did I ever go to a meeting really with any thought of trying to quit, right? Like, I got this. Like, I go to meetings now, and I see people coming in, and they got a few days, and they're holding on, and I wonder if they're really trying, right? Was I ever that person? Because when I came in, when I got in that fight in 97, that was it. I had no desire to drink. I was on board, both feet in, 100%, right? I came from that day, I loved it, right? Be years later before I would, you know, you know, that devil would come back and start poking at me, and I really wasn't quite prepared. And, you know, I've shared the story. But at that time, I was super, super excited about being sober. I was super excited about getting some time. I wasn't white-knuckling it. The desire to use had been removed from me. But I try, you know, I can't, you know, early on, I can't think about how you know, I don't ever think, oh man, I got 4 days from smoking pot. I didn't give a shit. I just smoked it, right? It was all just this fiasco with my father. And so I don't ever really remember using those phrases, you know, one day at a time. I was never holding on like that, right? But what I did learn is that as I've gotten sober and I'm farther away from having that last drink, and we started learning about how much, or I started learning how much, you know, the problem was between my ears, right? Not in my elbow. Did those phrases really start to help me, right? And because I would take on, you know, I felt like I've always had anxiety, right? Depression. I've always suffered, right? And when I started to understand about staying in the day and, you know, when you have one foot in the past and one foot in the future, you're pissing all over the present, you know, those little things, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And when someone started to explain to me that we're really cut out to, we can handle what's in the day, right? But when I start handling what's in tomorrow, right, or when I start handling what was in yesterday, it really becomes overwhelming. And I would learn, you know, that sort of getting in that place of being overwhelmed, and then we feel a little bit more hopeless, and then we're more likely to say, ah, fuck it, right? And then we may pick up a drink. But I had never really gotten to that place where I had to. I mean, I remember feeling stressed and not really being aware of these things early on, and using those tools like, hey, just, you know, let's not worry about tomorrow, right? Let's not worry about yesterday. These are all really, for me, were really bad habits. You know, they always say, you know, you find a drunk on a bar stool, he'll be talking about what he's going to do one day or what he did another day, but he can't tell you about what he did today, right? Because, and I've lived that, because in that moment, I've done nothing, right? And it was a pretty sad and miserable experience. So it was always about what I was going to do one day. You'll see, or remember how great I used to be. But I couldn't talk about the present. And but today, you know, I have some time, right? Get some time, get some distance between that last drink. And, you know, we get it, right? I got this. We get better. We get into our new habits. And, you know, everything's great until things like this sneak up on me. You know, like I said, and I shared it in the meeting. My buddy Matt used to say, there's another great thing, another great phrase or another great saying. He used to say, everything you share cuts that anxiety in half. And I do believe he's correct. It does. And I shared it in the podcast that my life is becoming unmanageable because of my phone, and my life is becoming unmanageable because I'm not staying in the day. And these are all the simple, not as much the phone, but the staying in the day has been something that's been taught to me ever since I came into the program. And I guess since I'm so sober, right, I'm super sober, right, I've forgotten. And I'm not using the basic tools that were given to me early on to try to keep my sanity. And it's so fucking strange, man. It's one of the strangest things how I know these things. I know them. And I ignore them. And it's really, I guess, you know, like Eddie Vedder used to say, man, I choose my happiness. And I have not been choosing happiness. I've been choosing suffering. And I've had enough. And so yesterday, talking about it in the podcast and then going to the meeting last night, I shared, you know, because the meeting was on the second tradition. And the fact I didn't want to read it. I was annoyed. I was just a mess last night for some reason. And I worked through it, right? I got through it. I didn't say or behave in any way that I had any regrets about. But inside, I was like, I'm so sick of this. I need to stop coming to this meeting, or I'm just tired of reading, or whatever it was. You know, the solution that I had last night was I just didn't read. I just listened. And it was fine, right? It was absolutely fine. My friend Wendy spoke. She did a great job, but she talked about love, and she talked about God in her share about the second tradition. And I was able to tie my connection, because what happens when, and I shared this the other day, you know, in my personal life, using these steps and working a program and being, you know, free of fear, I can live in a place of love. But publicly, I'm not doing that. And so I'm living in a place of fear. And who is afraid? Self is afraid. So I'm living this self-centered existence when it comes to my thoughts on the public side of my life. And so I just shared it, you know, and I shared about this phone and how it's becoming, my life's becoming unmanageable. And, you know, I'm not going to get in any trouble, but I'm suffering, you know, spiritually. And self is running the show when it comes to that kind of thing. And I'm not having a lot of, I'm not holding the hand of God. I'm not having love, right? And so it was just really good. I was good to share and get it out. It was amazing how many people shared. And I won't say how many, but it seemed like the few people that shared, it wasn't a big meeting. It was only, I think, 6 or 7 people. But the people that did share all sort of shared the same thing, that they can absolutely get caught up in these phones. And, you know, they sort of understand. And I don't know. It just ended up being a really, it was a really good meeting. I feel like I've made a turn with the phone, I guess. I'm not sure what the solution is with the phone, because, you know, I have gotten rid of these apps. It has been helping. This all sort of came to a head last week when I got rid of the Newsbreak. Newsbreak, I think, was the one that was really, and Instagram were really bugging me. And then the other problem is that I watch, you know, I basically watch YouTube, and so I'm just picking and choosing my misery. So I just have to make, you know, I came home last night, I said, and this is the other thing that's been going on in my life lately, is that I have a lot of loose ends, a lot of unfinished loose ends, and they're very small, but they absolutely can drive me nuts. And the one of them was that I have a, I couldn't get my printer to work. I have 2 printers. I have a printer, and my oldest boy, David, has a laser jet printer, and they're both down in the office, and we were trying to, you know, I talked about we're selling that house, and these the attorney sent me some paperwork that I needed to fill out. I couldn't print it. I got 3 freaking printers. I got 2 laser jet printers, and then, of course, you know, are the old inkjet printers. Got a couple of those. They're all down in the office, right? And none of them freaking work. And I'm trying to get them to work. I can't get them to work. I'm pissed. And I definitely know the one printer that my son, David's printer, is actually runs. I can use Bluetooth, right? Like when we had it set up at our old house, we could, if I came across something I need printing, I could just scroll down. I'd hit print. It'd ask what computer, and it would print in his room, right? I could hear. So it was like really cool. But when we moved, we didn't quite have it set back up, and he didn't remember the password, right? And so it just sort of has been in this state of unusable. And I was like, God damn, I wish I get these. So I came home last night from the meeting, and, you know, that's the other thing. That's I've just been watching too much freaking TV. So I came home, and I said, I'm not watching TV. I'm working on my printer. My wife's like, what? It is 9 o'clock. You come home and we sit and we watch TV. Teresa's getting ready for bed. It's this whole routine. I go, I know, but I have got to do something else. I am not sitting on this fucking couch for the next 4 hours. I have got to do something. And so I worked. First of all, me and my son share this office, and it's like his gaming room, right? And so there's freaking chips, and it's not bad, but you can tell it's barely holding on. I said, you know, get a dustpan. Let's get this freaking room cleaned up. So him and I got the room cleaned up. Then my wife came in, and then we Swiffered it because the kids had gotten something sticky in there. And so we actually just cleaned this room last night. It wasn't bad. The room wasn't bad, but it just needed the last 20%, right? The last 20%, and we got it. And I worked on the printer. I figured it out. Actually hooked it up through Bluetooth. Now we can all print on this computer again. These one small little the last 20% goals that I leave loose and open, you know, I'm trying to clean them up. There's another, you know, we had this old TV that stopped working, and I dragged it into the office, and there it is, leaning against the closet door. I'm like, I gotta take this TV and throw it away or do something with it. But having it sitting here for the last year is not the solution. And these, I'm learning, you know, are like open source. And I can tell you how much better I felt last night having fixed the printer. Right? I didn't realize how annoyed I was with this freaking printer. But I fixed it, and it's working. And we got the room clean. I got the sticky stuff off the floor. Sam, we got his table cleared up with his computer, all of it cleaned up. You could tell he felt better. He had it, you know, you could see when it's funny when, you know, like his, we have these two. I have a desk in one corner, and he has a big long table in the other. His computer is up on that. My computer's on the left. And, you know, he eats and stuff. He's not supposed to, but you know how it goes. And he'll have drinks in there, and he's not supposed to, but you know how it goes. But last night, I'm like, let's pick up everything. Let's clean it. We Windexed everything. Put it all back together. Put it all back nice. Cleaned up under the table. And you can see, he has his little trinkety things, and he's got them stood up. He got this little clock for Christmas that he hadn't been able to figure out how to set. We figured out how to set it. We got the clock set. He set up little things. You could see him starting to take pride in his little desk there, right, where he'd sort of lost his love for the spot. I mean, he was using it, right, but he wasn't loving it. And so when we got it cleaned up, I could see him starting to show a little pride in his little workspace, right? He had these little figurines. He stood back up, and he had these cool, artist laminate things that he got for Christmas. He set those up, and, you know, you could see him start taking pride when you start cleaning things up. And I feel like that's what's going on this week, man. I've got to clean some fucking loose ends up. I got to start recognizing my behavior. I need to start recognizing the part I'm playing in this misery, and I need to start making some adjustments. I need to start cleaning this stuff up. And so that's what, you know, getting that desk cleaned up last night. Some things I want to do today. I got to get rid of that TV. I got to get some bikes from the other house. I got a lot of loose ends. And I got to really start trying to figure out what the deal is with them. And let's get back on the road to recovery. But it's funny, you know. There are all these little things that we can do, that I can do, that kind of keep me in my sanity. And they're so small they're just so small that I don't pay attention. But, man, you get a bunch of them going, and the next thing you know, I'm living sort of miserable. And that's sort of what's been going on. And then through winter and, and then obviously leaving the salon, that's a fear and a lot of change coming with that. I've just been in a thing, and I have to remind myself, you know, stay in the day, Tom. Stay in the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Stay in the moment. Do the best you can. Let's tie up some little ends, and we'll start. And, you know, like I got up this morning, it's nice out, right? I don't even have a coat. That starts to help, right? Get a little sunshine, a little vitamin D deficient. And hopefully all these things, you know, I'm pretty good today, but I could absolutely see in this past week where I might be able to, like, you know, maybe drinking does seem like an option. I hope that isn't happening today. Luckily, I really, really, really I'm grateful to be sober. I'm not doing this for anybody else other than myself, and I'm so happy that I get to do it. And let's see. Let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to go tie up some loose ends. Do you have a lot of loose ends that you need tying up? Right? Do you realize it? Right? I didn't realize that maybe a lot of this loose end stuff could start helping me feel a little bit better in my mind until we did the thing that we did last night. You know, first of all, I had to talk about it, right? I had to share about it, and then I had to get into action. And just the little things we fixed last night really made me feel better, right? The other thing is my diet. And so there are things, it's weird, there are things in recovery that are absolutely unfucking manageable. You know, my phone is starting to make my life unmanageable. My diet has been making my life unmanageable. And the weird part is I really don't eat that much. It's so crazy. I'm just eating the wrong things at the wrong time. That's the other thing. Like last night I was hungry, and it's like midnight. I'm like, Jesus, I'm so hungry. And I'm like, don't eat, right? I feel like I eat it too late. And so I'm struggling with that. Dear Lord, help me. Help me with this food. All right. Let's see here. Daily reflections. Give me an answer. Reflection. Daily. March 3rd. Overcoming self-will. This sounds like it's got potential. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though he usually doesn't think so, above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness We must or it kills us. Yeah. Yep. I'm going to read that again. March 3rd. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though he usually doesn't think so, above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must or it kills us. Yeah, I've shared so many times that shocking moment when I realized that I'm actually the problem, right? I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That was a freaking eye-opening experience, and it's all I see today, right? It's all I see. All the problems that I've been having have been selfish, self-made, self-will-run riot problems. You know, on the phone, looking at, reading articles that I shouldn't even be reading about war and this, you know, all the shit going on. I'm setting myself up. I know better. But, you know, it's just, it's hard when, you know, I'm not getting DUIs because of the articles I'm reading, right? I'm not losing my, you know, my family. My wife and I aren't fighting because of, you know, the articles that I'm reading and the stupid people on TikTok or, yeah, I don't even have TikTok, on Reels, on that stuff. You know, it's, I'm not losing everything because of it. It's just grinding me down to the ground. And, yeah, anyway. So that was Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. For so many years, my life revolved solely around myself. I was consumed with self in all forms, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-seeking, all of which stemmed from pride. Today, I have been given the gift through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous of practicing the steps and traditions in my daily life, of my group and sponsor, and the capacity, if I so choose, to put my pride aside in all situations which arise in my life, until I could honestly look at myself and see what I was the problem in many situations and react appropriately inside and out, until I could discard my expectations and understand that my serenity was directly proportional to them. I could not experience serenity and sound sobriety. That's right. That's right. That's the problem. You know, I get, you know, I've gone through this. I get it. I know what the problem is. It's me. I'm self-centered, right? And so I'm cool with that. And I, you know, I'm aware of it and I try to work on it. But then all of a sudden, these other little things that sort of slip by, right, they sneak through the gate, and I'm not really paying attention because I'm looking for these bigger things, and these little things start, you know, undermining my serenity, right? You can't have serenity and self, right? You can't have, like I said last night, and I've said this before, you can't have a relationship with God and have self, right? That's self-seeking, right? It's always, if self's involved, you can't have the humble side of it. They just aren't. They don't go together. And, you know, it is these little things that creep by that start really fucking undermining me. And it's, you know, I don't know. Listen, if you're stressing, I was pretty shocked on how many people talked about, one friend of mine started crying. She's been going through this shit with her phone, and it's not just her. It's watching her kids on the phone. And I get that too. You know, my kids are on their phones. They're, you know, we're sort of losing them to these electronic devices, and it's a bummer. And so a lot of people are struggling, I think, with phones and participating in the shit on the phones and trying not to lose their freaking minds. But anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. It's beautiful outside. Go out and enjoy it. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.